We're in a really exciting season here at VOH. God's on the move. Of course, God's always on the move, but I think at this time we're a little bit more sensitive to what he's doing, and we want to jump in that move, and we want to move with him. So this morning, let's get back to basics. Let's get back to first things and to stir up a passion for God. We can have the next slide up. Okay. So I'd like to read Psalm 42, 1 and 2. And I would like to read this verse slowly and with feeling. So let's do that. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, for the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Let's let those words linger. Let's savor them. These are the words that are the cry of every lover of God. The when that we read in that verse, when can we go and meet with God? The when of that verse puts our focus on time. When can we meet with God? At what time can we meet with God? So this meeting with God, really, it's all about time. It's all about investing time, and it's all about investing in relationship. So let's think about relationship for a moment. Thank you. No, there we go. It's all about relationship. Yeah. So let's think about relationship for a moment. And to help us think about relationship a little bit, I would like to invite up Brandon. Is Brandon in the house? All right. Give it up for Brandon. Come on up, Brandon. So I've got a few questions for Brandon as we explore relationship, okay? So, Brandon, we've got first question. Did you have a best friend when you were a small child?
Yes.
Okay. That was easy. Next question. Do you have a best friend now?
I do.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Well, Brandon, can you tell us a little bit about your childhood best friend and how did that happen and how did you guys move to the status of best friend?
Okay, so we both grew up in church together, me and my childhood best friends, and because we were kids and because we grew up in church, we are crazy. And so I didn't share this with you over the phone, but we used to ditch service and we would run around and play tag and we would take paper from the copy machine and make paper claws and paper airplanes, and we would just cause a ruckus at church. So that was me and my childhood best friend.
Okay, very good. Now can you tell us a little bit about your current best friend and how did that happen and how did you guys move to the status of best friends?
Okay. So I met my current best friends here at church. They're best friends because they're available. They're not selfish with their time. They're sacrificial. They tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And they're just all around always available for me, always willing to encourage me and always willing to empathize with me.
Okay. Thank you, Brandon. And so one of the characteristics of Brandon's experience is that it took time. It takes time to have a good relationship. So thanks, Brandon. Let's give it up for Brandon. So good relationship takes time. I'd like to put it in a mathematical formula, so we can go to the next slide. Person plus time equals good relationship. Intentionally investing time with God is how we stir up our passion for God. It's how we awaken that passion for God. So let's stir it up. Let's stir it up. Let's really focus on that this morning. And I'd like to talk about marriage relationship at this point. Because marriage is a very special kind of relationship. God designed it to be the best relationship ever. But some of us can't describe our marriages as the best relationship ever. And why is that? Again, I'll put it in a mathematical formula. So we'll go to the next slide. Person minus time equals no relationship. Or perhaps if in our relationship we're negative, we're kind of demeaning, and we're just kind of in a chronic dysfunction, then the time that we do spend with our significant other or our spouse is not good time, and we don't have a good relationship. We have a poor relationship, or we have a bad relationship. So the key to marriage, or any kind of good relationship, is to invest good quality time. And I'm not talking about something big or grandiose that you have to do, but it is really all about small daily investments over a long period of time. And with these small daily investments over a long period of time, deep and significant relationships are developed. When married couples do this, their marriage really is the best relationship ever. Ever. So that's why the Bible uses the marriage relationship in a number of different places to describe what our relationship with God is like. I mean, look at the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a love poem that's traditionally been used by the church over centuries to describe the love relationship between God and the church, or God and us. Now, today, a lot of biblical interpreters read Song of Solomon as a more literal description of what a real married life is supposed to look like. But the two kinds of reading, the metaphorical and a literal, I don't think are mutually exclusive. But then when we jump to the New Testament, Jesus, Paul, and John very clearly and explicitly use marriage as a metaphor for the relationship between God and us. And so in Mark 2:19, Jesus says, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." Jesus uses the metaphor of marriage to describe his relationship with us. In Ephesians 4, Paul does that. And then John does it in Revelation 21:19 when he says, Jesus is saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." The Lamb is Jesus, of course. So God uses the marriage metaphor because marriage is the best relationship ever if we invest the time. time is the key. Let's go to the next slide. So let's talk about relationship with God. Sooner or later, you'll be talking to someone who doesn't know God, someone at work, at school, in your neighborhood, maybe your the places where you go regularly to shop, the grocery store. Sooner or later, you're going to be talking with an unchurched person, and as you're talking, and as you're developing your relationship with these people, sooner or later, the subject of God pops up. And what are you going to say when your friend says, "So, tell me about this God thing. What is relationship with God? How do you do it?" What are you going to say? How are you going to answer? Let's go to the next slide. I'd like to look at what the psalmist says, how the psalmist would answer that kind of a question. And in Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your guidance. I think about it all day long." Now, traditionally, this verse has been translated, "Oh, how I love your law." Or to use the Hebrew term, "Oh, how I love your Torah." Now, Torah is much broader than just law. Torah means instruction, guidance. So, "Oh, how I love your guidance, Lord. Oh, how I love it when you're talking to me and leading me." So do we want relationship with God? Do we really want it? If we really, really want it, then it's got to be something that we cultivate and nurture every single day. "Oh, how I love your guidance. Oh, how I love your words, Lord. Speak to me. I think about it all day long." In our relationship with God, one of the primary ways that we relate to God, that we hear from God, that we communicate with God, one of the primary ways is through His Word. And so we've got to get deep into God's Word, and we've got to do it every day. If we do this every day, over time, our relationship with God goes deep and significant. Do you want to fly high in the Spirit? Do you really want to fly high in the Spirit? We talk about that a lot here at VOH, and rightly so. But do you really want to fly high in the Spirit? If you really want to fly high in the Spirit, then you've got to go deep, deep, deep into God's Word. There's no shortcut to this. There's no shortcut to flying high in the Spirit. You've really got to go deep into God's Word. "Oh, how I love your Word, Lord. How I love your guidance. How I love your instruction. I think about it all day long." What are you going to say when your unchurched friend says, how do you do this relationship thing with God? How do you do it? So when your unchurched friend does ask you, "How do you do this relationship with God?" I hope I trust and I expect that you're going to say, wow, you know, I meet with God every day by reading his word, by praying, and as I read his word, I think about it all day long, and it transforms my life and my soul. That's the kind of thing that the psalmist is telling us that is the way into deep and significant relationship with God. It takes time. Just like we heard from Brandon, we heard the stories, and those are our stories too. Most of us have a childhood best friend, and we've had best friends. Doesn't happen without time. Time is the key. Time is the secret. Doesn't happen without it. So this is the reality. This is the reality of every lover of God. They make the time. And we can make the time. We can do this. We can do this. We really can. I cultivate my relationship with God with a mix of prayer and the word every day. It's a mix of both intentionality and spontaneity. I have a set time, typically, that I meet with God. It's usually in the morning. I express my affection to God. I practice tuning my heart to hear his voice. And then throughout the day, I carry him in my heart. And I pray spontaneously at different moments throughout the day and just keep that dialogue and that relationship going through the day. Let's look at another person in Scripture, and let's look at that relationship. So let's look at the prophetess Anna in Luke 2, 36 to 38. It says, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. Spending time is the key, and Anna spent time. And because of that, God gave Anna amazing revelations because there was relationship there. The time was invested. And the result was a deep and significant relationship with God. So let's stir it up. Let's stir up and awaken our passion for God. Let's stir this up. Let's do this. Let's not be passive. No passivity. Let's not just go along with the flow during this time where God's really doing some amazing things. Let's not just flow along and be passive. Let's be intentional. Let's invest the time. Let's seize this. Carpe diem. Let's seize this moment. And again, we don't have to do anything real grandiose. It's very small, steady, daily investments of time with God. Let's go to the next slide. There's a couple of short books that have been very helpful to me. I've got them here. Coming to God in the Stillness by Jim Borst and Finding God in the Fast Lane by Joyce Huggett. And these two books are really special to me because there was a period of time in my life that was really, really difficult. It was a 4-year period. I was working on my PhD. And I was working from early morning to late at night. And I was really, really uptight and anxiety-ridden. I didn't think that I had the time that it took to finish my program and to finish the dissertation. And so I was just cranking day and night, day and night. And as this lifestyle continued, I began spending less and less time with God. And pretty much my relationship with God was almost nothing. So I was frustrated. I was frustrated because I wasn't connecting with God. I was frustrated because the relationship wasn't there. And I was really, really frustrated and full of anxiety because I thought I was going to fail at this PhD project I was working on. And so during that time, I came across these two books. And especially the Jim Borse book was really helpful because the chapters are just two-page chapters. And they gave me insight into how to carry on a vibrant and significant relationship with God when you're really, really busy. I know a lot of you are really, really busy. And I can testify to you that even when you're really, really busy, you can meet with God. You can make those daily deposits that end in good relationship. So these books are used. They're out of print. But you can go to Amazon and you can pick them up used there. Also, another thing that is really, really helpful if you're struggling in making that investment, taking that time that's needed in order to have a really good, rich, and genuine relationship with God, is to use one of the best gifts that God has given to us, and that's our relationship with trusted friends. So I'd like you to think about a trusted friend that you can make yourself accountable to. Say, you know, I really want to invest this time, but I'm struggling, so I just want to let you know that I want to be accountable to you. So do that. It's a real gift. Your trusted friends are a gift from God and a real source of growth and flourishing. So take advantage of that. And think of a friend. Think of a trusted friend right now that you can be accountable to spend time with God. We're in a very special season. God's doing some really good things. And we don't want to be left out. You don't want to find yourself standing on the sideline here. There's some real exciting things that are going to happen. And I just really, as we're finishing here, I just really want to fix our gaze on God because he's amazing. Our God is majestic. Yeah, stir up your passion. Thank you. Our God is majestic. He's glorious. He is radiantly beautiful and joyfully delightful. We discover that and experience that when we invest the time. Let's not settle for living a mere shadow of the life that God intends for us. Let's not do that. Let's just move into the joy and the wonder and the adventure of communing with God. Let's stir it up. Let's stir it up. Let's not stand on the sideline. Let's not watch and be passive. Let's stir it up. Stir it up. Awaken your passion for God. And participate with us in this amazing season that God has us in. So let's stand. Let's have the worship band come. And as we're worshiping, just commune with God. If you don't know Jesus, I know.